Why do the wicked prosper and the righteous suffer? I want to show you this morning that Psalm 37 has the answer.
As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. I want you more than gold or silver, only you can satisfy. You alone shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to
Welcome to another day and a new week which the Lord has given to us. And I'd like to tell you good morning. My name is Don Rule, and I speak every week on this program called Perception, a work and ministry of the Nile Street Church of Christ in Klamath Falls. So why do the wicked prosper and the righteous suffer? That is a question, of course, that many people ask, both saint and sinner. For you see, if God cares, if He has the power, then these things do not seem right. Should not the wicked suffer and the righteous prosper? Certainly there are times when this is true. However, I think people mean that. The wicked should always suffer and never prosper, and the righteous should always prosper and never suffer. After this life, when life on earth is done, the wicked will have everlasting suffering, and the righteous will have everlasting prosperity. But our problem is seeing the reverse now. Just because we judge things by the flesh, though, does not mean that God does. We think He should operate by the flesh, or at least we imply that. The truth is, He operates by the Spirit. And so the goal is for us to see things as He does. Psalm 37 shows that this struggle with the disparity of the wicked and the righteous is an ancient one. Interestingly, in this psalm, David never tells the reader to express his anger at God. Starting at verse 1, the scripture says, "Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land, and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth." That was Psalm 37, verses 1 through 9. Now, this instruction here is preventing the sins of envy, discontentment, materialism, anger at God. We may be tempted to blame God for being unjust. Here we are trying our best to obey Him, but we struggle. Then there are the wicked, and they seem to do better. But do not let the prosperity of the wicked bother you. God, by His goodness toward them, is seeking to move them to repent. Acts 14:17 was spoken for this very reason, to convince some new converts that God is the one who is good to them, therefore they should turn to Him. So the Scripture says, "Nevertheless, He did not leave Himself without witness, in that He did good, gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness." You see, friends, there is great danger in fretting because of evildoers and being envious of them, because it can create wrath within us, and the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. That's what David was saying in verse 8. You will also make yourself miserable, and you'll end up doubting God. That is, you will cease to live by faith. But God assures us that the wicked will be mowed down like grass. Whatever good they have is short-lived. Remember this. Fretting over the prosperity of the wicked is like the thin cow fretting over the fattened steer as he is being led away to the slaughter. Many years ago, when I was struggling with my kidney disease and then my transplant and all the medications, several people tried to get me to be bothered that I was suffering while some wicked people had good health. But this passage that we've been looking at from Psalm 37 was all that I needed. And it strengthened me and made me strong and kept me from fretting because of the evildoers. Now, being a Christian, being a disciple of Christ, means that you know the promises of God and you believe them. If God says, "Do not fret because of evildoers," because He's going to cut them down, believe it. The evildoers will end up fretting because of you if you follow Christ. They will be like a rich man that Jesus told us about in Luke chapter 16, who was in torment but saw Lazarus, who had lived a poor life on the earth, when he was in paradise. It is not surprising then what David says next. He says, if you want the desires of your heart, he says, here's several things to do. Number one, trust in the Lord. He will bless you, as this psalm is promising. Did He not create all things? Can He not then give you what you need and what you desire? Trust Him to run your life, because He's been doing a good job of running this world all along. Number two, David said, do good. Do not be tempted to do evil as the people in verse 1 that he's talking about, but continue to do good works. For there is no retirement on earth from doing good. Number three, David said, dwell on the land. Instead of being envious, thinking life and God are unfair, enjoy what you have, materially and spiritually. If you only focus on what you do not have and what the wicked have, you will miss the wonderful blessings you have now and that you can have later. Number four, David said, feed on His faithfulness. God has kept all His promises to us, so enjoy them. Delight yourself in the Lord is the fifth thing that he said. Do not delight in evil, nor the evildoers, nor in their prosperity. Let God be the one who fills your heart with delight. If anything else, no matter how good it is, gives us greater delight than the Lord, we are destined to fall and be miserable. If you delight in the Lord, the prosperity of the wicked will not bother you. Is not God Himself enough for us? When a young man and a young woman are in love, they can be dirt poor, but they may not even notice it. Look at Jesus. Did He fret because of the prosperity of the wicked? Jesus did not even have a pillow for His head. But He delighted in God, and that was enough. Number six, David said, commit your way to the Lord. Literally, in prayer, tell God that you are committing a burden, goal, desire, or work to Him. Tell Him that you know by committing it to Him, it will prosper if it be His will. If it is not His will, then no matter how much you work and worry about it, there will be no prosperity. Commit your family, your finances, your employment, you name it. If it is righteous, commit it to Him. Now the farmer does what he can, but he leaves most of the work to God. Can the farmer bring the clouds and the weather? Can the farmer make the sun rise? How many times in our lives, though, do we try to do God's part? Now also, in these first 9 verses of Psalm 37, for his 7th point, David said, rest in the Lord, waiting patiently for Him. This implies that blessings do not always come immediately. There will be dark times in life when we wonder if we shall be blessed. Waiting is not easy when justice seems to be failing. Do not let the wicked affect you. Do not fret over their prosperity. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret because David says it can only cause harm. That is, harm to you. He promises by the Holy Spirit that the evildoers will be cut off completely. It will not be long. You will look intently for them, he said, but they shall be no more. Now I want to continue reading in Psalm 37, verses 10 through 20. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plots against the just, and gnashes at him with his teeth. The Lord laughs at him, for he sees that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, to slay those who are of upright conduct. Their sword shall enter their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord, like the splendor of the meadows, shall vanish. Into smoke they shall vanish away. Well, that's a powerful passage. And there is one passage in the New Testament, found in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, that I think is the best way to understand how the meek inherit the earth. Paul wrote, starting at verse 21, therefore let no one boast in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul, or Apollos, or Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come, all are yours, and you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Therefore, concentrate upon being meek, and let God bless you in the way He wants. One man said, passion has his good things first, and they are soon over. Patience has his good things last, and they last forever. But like David said here in Psalm 37, the wicked plot against the just. Why can he not just let the good man alone? Because there is enmity between the serpent's seed and the seed of the woman. Okay, if he's going to attack, why not attack the good man fairly? Why does he have to plot and scheme? Because it's according to the very nature of the serpent to be subtle. They hate the light, and they hated our teacher, they will hate us. The wicked indeed prepare to attack the upright, but the attack shall be against themselves. As King Adonai Bezek in Judges chapter 1, who cut off the big toes and thumbs of the kings he conquered, and the Israelites did the same to him, and he confessed that God was merely repaying him. Now, verse 16 of Psalm 37 is a proverb on the better condition of the righteous. Again, verse 16 said this: a little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. Look at the strong contrast. One righteous man with a little compared to many wicked people with riches. What a powerful paradox. We would naturally think that the many people with riches are better. Moreover, we would conclude one person with little is not better than anyone. However, in what King David is presenting here, there's an important difference which makes this a paradox. The difference is the moral state. If a person is wicked, his wealth will not help him in the day when David says God breaks his arms. If a person is righteous, his poverty will not hamper him or hamper God from blessing him. Verse 16 should also help us to understand the idea of inheriting the earth. If the righteous can be better off with a little, what would inheriting the earth mean to them? The point is that they inherit whatever good thing God wants to give them of this earth, and they can enjoy it no matter what it is. It is not that they get the whole earth, but the Lord makes the earth available to them to bless them. Moreover, the just know that earth is not a permanent home. Here is why the righteous are better off. David said, "The Lord shall break the arms of the wicked." The arms that the wicked used to draw his sword and to bend his bow shall be broken by the Lord. David also said, "The Lord shall uphold the righteous. They shall survive evil times." If God's providence is our inheritance, we need not worry about the price of wheat, one 19th century preacher said. And then David said, the fate of the wicked is this: they will vanish like the splendor of the meadows. Into smoke they shall vanish away. Now I would like to read to you verses 21 through 31. The wicked borrows and does not repay, but the righteous shows mercy and gives. For those blessed by him shall inherit the earth, but those cursed by him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. He is ever merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore, for the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever, but the descendants of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell in it forever. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and his tongue talks of justice. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The wicked take, but the righteous give. That's what David has just shown us. The wicked will even do it in seemingly legitimate ways. Here David mentions the idea of borrowing. The wicked might do it through embezzlement and fraud. That is, they will say that they will use your money in a legitimate way, but they are only stealing from you. The righteous do not see other people as people to be used, but as people to be helped. Look at the life of the righteous that David has painted for us. He says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord are kind of like a train on the tracks at night. The crew and the passengers pile onto the train, knowing that if they stay on the track, all will be well. It can be dark outside, snowing and many other hazards, but they shall reach their destination safely. The Lord delights in the way of the good man. Often we speak of delighting in God and in His way, but verse 23 that I read for you a few moments ago is picturing God delighting in the way of the good man. He says, the righteous fall, but the Lord upholds him. Now, friends, please do not miss the point of verse 24, which I want to read to you again. David wrote, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. You see, the righteous will fall. They will make mistakes. They will fail at some times, and bad things will happen to them. But the catch is, it is not permanent. Indeed, King Solomon wrote in the book of Proverbs, for a righteous man may fall 7 times and rise again, but the wicked shall fall by calamity. That was Proverbs 24:16. The righteous are not enabled to rise back up because they have more wealth or more strength or more wisdom, but they have the Lord upholding them. And David says he would give his own personal observations confirming this. For he never saw the righteous forsaken. Instead of being forsaken, they were able to give to others. And their descendants are blessed. The righteous must depart from evil and do good, because the Lord loves justice. Thus, the mouth of the righteous is wisdom and justice. The result is that none of his steps shall slide. Now, in verses 32 through 40, Psalm 37 says, the wicked watches the righteous and seeks to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a native green tree. Yet he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Indeed, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the blameless man, and observe the upright. For the future of that man is peace, but the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The future of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them, because they trust in Him. The wicked will watch the righteous, according to David, looking for a way to slay them. Let us never forget that the world is watching us if we're seeking to be righteous. You may not even realize it until someone says something to you. The Lord will not leave the righteous in the land of the wicked. Wait on the Lord and keep His way. The Lord will exalt you and cause you to be blessed. You will see the wicked cut off, he says. I believe the prime example of this is Hitler and the Third Reich. Where is he, and where is the third millennium of Germany? He says, watch what happens to the blameless man. Instead of watching the prosperity of the wicked and fretting over it, watch the blameless man and see how he lives and observe the way he is blessed. Why is it we watch the wicked and fret over them? The Lord will be the strength of the righteous in time of trouble. During times of crisis, you will see the righteous endure and be stronger. In verse 39, when again David said, but the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord, He is their strength in the time of trouble. Now that does not promise that the Lord will never let the righteous have times of trouble. Indeed, it is saying they will have times of trouble. But the Lord will be their strength. My dear friends, the Nile Street Church of Christ is deeply interested in your soul. Deeply interested in showing you what the Scriptures teach on how to be saved and how to have peace with God. I would encourage you to worship with the Nile Street Church. Get to know the members there and ask a member to show you what the Bible teaches. That you must believe in God, that you must repent of your sins, and that you must be baptized, that is, immersed in water, for the forgiveness of your sins. If you want to learn more about those things, contact the Nile Street Church of Christ, which is listed in the Yellow Pages along with a map and the service times. Till next Sunday, my friends, sharpen your prosperity or your perception about the prosperity of the wicked and the suffering of the righteous. This has been Perception with Don Rule and the Nile Street Church of Christ in Klamath Falls, Oregon. Thank you for listening.
You are beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depth of your love? You are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above. And I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you. You are beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depth of your love? You are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above. And I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you. And I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. I stand.